amen, amen. Thank you, brother. He's alive. He's alive, and we are free. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and who you will continue to be toward us, Lord. And we also thankful that you bring us here this morning to worship you. And we ask you, Lord, that you be with us from your servant through whom you will speak this morning to every single heart who will listen to your word this morning. Let us be sensitive to your word, and let us not be hearers only, but doers. We love you and ask you all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I say good morning to everyone. And I've been out for 1 week or so, and it seems like for years. I feel I miss home so much, and I bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in Haiti, and I'm sure you will hear more about the trip. This last song about Jesus is alive. Isn't it a nice song? But how many of you, while singing, think about, is he really alive? Or is it the song? You know? But the truth is, he is alive. But we don't every day think about it. And this morning, that's what we will see. There is proof. There is no doubt that he is alive. And if you don't believe he is alive, I feel like Paul says, you are the most miserable if your hope is only what you see now. Because if you don't believe Jesus is alive, isn't what you have now, that's all it is, then there is no hope for you. And we are going to see that in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And I'll ask us to read these verses together. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. May this scripture be used for the edification of our souls this morning. Now, the books of Acts is the first historical book of the church. And I really want you to get this. If you are the church, you need to know your history, where you come from. And this book is the first book ever written about the church. And we have information of the first 30 years of the church that we definitely need to pay attention to. And this is the first response after the great commandment Jesus gave, that they should go out and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the whole Holy Ghost. So the book of Acts gives you everything pertaining to what took place after this great commission. Now, another thing that's important that we need to keep in mind as we're going through these scriptures and eventually through the book of Acts is that it marks the many transitions, the book of Acts. You find the transition from the ministry of Jesus Christ to the apostles' ministry. So Jesus left the apostles to continue his work. We see this transition there. And we also see a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the actual application of it. Okay? And then we find that Israel at first was the chosen people. But in the book of Acts, you find the church, not Israel as a nation anymore, but you find the church, including Jews and Gentiles, being witness for God. So, verse 1 in chapter 1, Acts, it says, "The former treaties have I made." By former treaties, that's mean there was, beside this one, there was a first one. And he's talking about this I made, this I is Luke. And we find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Let's go over that. So the former treaty was the book of Luke, and Luke was the author also of Acts. And I'd like you to go with me in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, which from very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things where thou hast been instructed." Remember, this morning we're going to talk about the proof of the resurrection of Christ. If you can be in church this morning, I'm almost certain it's not an accident you are here. You knew you were coming to church, and if it's an accident, maybe God wants you to be here. And if you are here, I can certainly assume you believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, it might be very hard for you, because the Bible, obviously, if there wasn't something good about it, they would have destroyed that thing. And they have tried, actually. So Luke, from the very beginning, he said there were things most surely believe among them. And then he took time to put them in writing. So he said, from the beginning were eyewitnesses. So they were taken from people who lived those things. They were not just things that from the past. There were people actually living, those who minister the word. And so he said he had a perfect understanding of those things from the very, very first. And then he said he is going to write them in order. He's going to take his time to put them in order for this most excellent Theophilus. So obviously, as you probably know, there are many things said about this recipient of this book, Theophilus. Some say, well, actually the word means lover of God, friend of God. Some says Luke wrote to those who love God, would be you and I and many other. And some says that by saying most excellent, this man probably was a Roman official. And some believe he was Luke's master, because those days, if you were a doctor, most likely you were a slave. not today a doctor is something important, but those days being a doctor mean you were a slave and you were to take care of a master. So some believe. But the thing is, who knows? Nobody knows for sure. Okay? So he said, we go back to Acts chapter 1. He says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus begun. All that Jesus begun. So the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, Jesus started to do many things. But it was just the beginning. But the book of Acts, according to Luke right here, is the continuation. Jesus continued to work. And some even says the book of the Acts of the Apostles should be titled the Acts of Jesus Christ, of the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Okay? So we have the book of Acts, the continuation of Jesus' work, but today we are still working. Jesus is still working through me and through you. But he said the what he started, what he begun both to do and teach. Jesus did many works. In John chapter 14, 10 to 11, he said, believeth thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So he did many works. And he said, if you don't want to believe that I am of the Father, just look at what I am doing. He did many works. And in John 10, 37, he says, If I do not the work of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So Luke says the things he begun to do and teach. And then we go over some works that he has done. One more thing I would like you to see before we get deep into is exactly what Jesus did. He did many works. But exactly why he was sent for, I would ask you to keep that in mind, because this is going to help us along the way in our study. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. This was Jesus. At the time, he openly declared that he was the one sent. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So this is the work that he has done. He has preached the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He did that. He healed brokenhearted. I was sent to preach deliverance to the captive. He definitely did that. And the recovering of sight to the blind, whether physically or spiritually, he opened eyes. And he was sent to set at liberty them that are bruised. And verse 19, he was sent to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Those are the things that Jesus did. He did many, many works. In the book of the Gospel of Luke, Luke said, those are the things he begun to do. And then I'm writing to you now about what he will continue to do. And verse 2, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, he continued to do those things until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment. He taught through the Holy Ghost. He gave commandment through the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how and what things you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour that he ought to say." He left. But through the Holy Ghost, which he had from the beginning, he left that with them. So they didn't have to think to what they were going to say and what they were going to answer, because at the moment, the same hour, they would be told, they would be given. And some of the commandments he gave, of course, we know the last one he said, love one another. By loving one another, you will know that you are my everyone will know that ye are my disciple. And there is one more scripture where in First John chapter 2, verse 27, the Bible says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." And then finally we get to our verse 3. I'm sorry, let me get some water. And I'll ask you to stand up with me one more time and let's read this verse, and this will be our message for this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. The disciple he has chosen, but verse 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the God." Thank you. You may be seated. We find the first experience I had outside of Haiti to the U.S. I have had other experience overseas. But one thing I can tell you for certain, people can look at somebody, like let's say because you come from a third world country or whatever, they can look at you and think, he doesn't know much. Anything will go for him. I remember when I took my ASVAB test 1 week after I came from Haiti. I went to that school to take that test. But to be honest, this was my first time taking American-style tests. I didn't have a clue, and they gave me the paper what to do. And the person explaining what to do, I could not understand him because I did not have ears to hear. Because you had to speak to me to say good morning. If you say just good morning, I'm not going to get it. So I waited for him to speak, and after I called him, I said, "Hey, can you explain me what you just explained?" And then I told him my story. And the other student and the test takers, they look at me and they laugh and they say, man, this guy will not pass this test. Eventually, I passed the test. So just to give you an idea, you may not speak a language. You may not know other stuff. But if you have a brain, you can understand. You have to value, like just because somebody doesn't speak Spanish, that doesn't mean they are dumb. You know that. Just because, so don't just look at the appearance and then thinking, you're going to fool this person. That's what happened. People thought the Jews back then and old times, so they could be fooled by anything. So this Jesus died and resurrected, so they would just swallow it. It wasn't that way. Jesus had to prove, he showed himself after his passion, because they saw he died, he was crucified and buried. The disciples, if you go with me to all, they did not automatically believe that was him. You remember what happened to Thomas? He said, you know what? Unless I see, I touch him. Unless I see the mark of the nails, I'm not going to believe that. So today, some of us still have doubt. Even though we've been Christian for so long, we still have doubt. We say, I don't know. So we just go by emotion. We come to church or we feel good, but when we go sit down and deep thinking, we say, So I want to take you through what Paul said and what Jesus did to take out doubt in your mind so you can receive this power that we have to receive. So we can have that reality we have in Christ. Luke chapter 24, starting from verse 13. After the resurrection of Christ, something happened, and we don't want it to happen to us. Luke chapter 24. This is when Jesus met those two walking on the road of Emmaus. And behold, two of them went, that's two of his disciples, that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together and all the things that took place, etc. But verse 17, Jesus talked to them because Jesus met them there after his resurrection. He said, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them told him in an answer, are you the only stranger here in Jerusalem? Basically, are you come from another planet? You don't know what's going on? And Jesus said, what thing are you talking about? And then they started to explain Jesus what took place. And verse 25, then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now we must say, my goodness, after all that, they still did not believe. Do you believe that the gospel even now need to be preached to you and I even in the church? Sometimes we just don't believe. We come to church, but we don't believe. Do you remember the man Jesus was supposed to heal his daughter? Jesus said, do you believe? He says, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief. Don't you feel like sometimes you're praying? You're just praying, but you don't really believe even in your prayer. This is the time to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You have some doubt, and it just will not work like that. You know Jesus can do it, but yet you're afraid to lean on him. You heard about him. You heard about everything he has done. The reports are there, but yet it's like you're praying for God for a solution, but yet in the other side of your brain, you're thinking about what will you do to fix that. Remember, in Acts, where the church was praying for Peter. They were praying, and they truly believed the Lord would deliver him. Or maybe they did not. And when it happened, Peter was at the door knocking, and they said, no, that's not true. And they continued to pray. We are praying, we are serving God, but without expecting anything. That's not the way it works. It starts by believing he died, he resurrected, and we accepted him as our personal Savior. He is our sacrifice. If we in church will have any doubt, how are we going to convince anybody else out there? We will spend the remaining of our time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And starting from verse 4, this is Paul talking. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. If you don't believe in the scriptures, then you're not going to believe that, because that's what we have to go by. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. So the time Paul wrote this, many of those who have seen Jesus were still living, were still alive. I think if those of you who ever traveled to Israel and to visit places, and it's definitely help to say, wow, you reading it, it's like hearing about Haiti or hearing about in any place. But when you are there, say, wow, that's it. So that's what happened. When we read the Bible or talking about Jesus and crucifixion or whatever, it seems like some telltale. But when you take time to say, wow, Jesus really existed. He lived. He was a man. And he really died. He was crucified. And then you will give more value to your daily life for Christ. It's like thinking about the battle, the civil wars, whoever he was, do you have, like George Washington. When you just think about it, it makes more sense than you value your country, you value the heritage you have. So Paul, verse 6 again, after that he was seen by 500 brethren at once. At once, 500 brethren at once. This is infallible proof. You can find one witness, two witness lie, but you find 500 together. And those witnesses, there are witnesses who were willing to die for what they were testifying for. They die for it. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8, and at last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of the due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to call apostles, because I persecuted the church of God, etc. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or there, so we preach, and so ye believe. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he was from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, from whom he was not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are falling asleep is in Christ are perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It is important that you check your faith as far as the subject of your faith is Christ. He is. Everything we do centered in Christ. So if you have any doubt, he died, he resurrected, then you have doubt in your salvation. And this is what happened. What happened is, if you believe he died for your sins, and you believe you are saved by grace, then you have confidence, you go forward. And that's where the sacrifice will come. You will be willing to give yourself more. You will be willing to share with boldness about him. But if you have doubt, you're going to be, like we would call, conservative. You're going to be very careful so you don't say much. That's why Paul and every other disciples were willing to go to prison. They were willing to endure persecution and everything because they believed. They saw it. No one could take this out from him. But verse 19, when he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's another reason. If you don't believe Christ resurrected, then you don't believe in heaven. If you don't believe in heaven, then earth is the best you've got. And it's just not good. If that's all you have a nice home, nice car, nice, but think about how much you have to work for it, to keep it, to pay for it. But having the hope of heaven would have you, while you are enduring the cross, you have the crown in sight. You get this encouragement. It's like when you work, you're working and you don't see the work, you see the check in mind. You work, but you will get paid for it. And this is the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We don't want to lose. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days. I am told that he did that for 40 days because he knew there would be doubt. He knew there would be doubt, and he wanted to wait 40 days. And not 40 days is not the first time. You know a lot about 40 days. If after 40 days you don't believe, then the problem is in you. Because he waited in different times and different way and different form. And then he continued to speak the things pertaining the kingdom of God. In the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, the Bible says the rich man came to talk to Abraham, and he says, can you let Lazarus, you know, drop his hand, his finger in water and, you know, help me out here. It's hard. And Abraham says, no, there is a big gap between you and I. It cannot happen. And he said, well, why don't you send Lazarus to talk to my brothers? I have five of them, and my goodness, if they don't hear this gospel, they're not going to be saved. And probably he was thinking, if I have my own brothers by Abraham's side, they probably help me out. But Abraham said, no, because they have Moses and the prophets. And it would be told to us today, we have the Bible. We have the preachers. We have the pastors. And Abraham said, if they don't listen to them, even if a dead would come back from the dead, they still would not believe. That's how hard it is. That's how hard it is. This may sound cold and not uplift message. Trust me, as Christians, as believers, you need to check how much you believe in the resurrection, how much you believe in heaven, how much you believe that this life is not it. Abraham said, they have Moses, they have the prophets. If they don't listen to them, even if I send somebody, even if it was possible to send a dead among the dead, they still will not listen. If you don't listen to, if you don't believe the simple word of God, if you don't listen, believe in the preaching of the word of God, don't wait for another miracle to take place. When you read the word of God, take it for what it is. Jesus Christ truly is God. He became a man and he died for you and I, and he has become our sacrifice. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And through him, we have eternal life. And that eternal life we have help us to live day by day. This is why when someone, whether they abuse you or say bad about you or I don't know, just mistreat you, you should have heaven for backup to say, well, I'm glad this world is not my home. This is where your strength comes from. But if you don't have it, you are miserable. It's like you lose a job or you don't get a job or anything. But every time you think about heaven, you have to say, thank God, that's not it. I have more to come. There is more to come. Death, for example, when somebody dies, or obviously a lot of us or most of us are afraid of dying, but yet we still want to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to die. But yet we say we're Christian, we're looking toward heaven, but we don't want to die. And it shows again how we don't focus in heaven for real. We really don't. And we need to have heaven in mind. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord the death of his saints. Precious. Remember Paul, because he had heaven in mind, he said he get caught between two hard places. He would love to be with the Lord, which would be the best. That's what he would like to. But yet, because of the church need, he has to stay longer. But he was looking toward going to heaven. He was one who believed. He believed in the life to come. But us, oh my goodness, we pray hard. We pray hard. It seems like the way we pray in church, we don't want any saints to go. We want the saints to stay. If the saints' mission is accomplished, I think we need to start praying, Lord, let's check up. It's like a plane about to take off. Let's go to the last check. Make sure everything is all right. But let the soul go. Jesus was very young when he died, but his mission was accomplished. He says, Lord, it's over. It's over. I'm not going to die yet. I have much more to do. So... But the thing is, we have to keep our eyes on heaven. And if you feel it's over, you don't have much to do, it's finished, and just say it's finished and then get ready for the Lord to take you. That's why if you love life that much, stay busy. If you get to a point where, okay, nothing else to do, well, it seems like your time is over. The Lord can take you home. But truly, sincerely, the only thing I wished that you have this morning is that you check your faith when it's come to Jesus Christ. He is real. It's not a tell story. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. Jesus truly died and he resurrected. If they could tune that off, we would not hear about this today. Over the years, they've been trying hard. But Jesus is real. And when I say real, remember, he through his Holy Ghost, he lives in you and in me. And we need to start living as if he lives in us. And he truly lives in us. And his Holy Spirit in us must be manifested. Must be manifested by the fruit. By the fruit. Again, the fruit, when it's come to joy, love, peace, long-suffering, those are the fruits of the Spirit. And if Jesus lives and you believe it, and let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in your life without telling anybody you believe, let everybody see it. You believe in Christ. I hope and pray you receive it. We don't need hallelujahs. We don't need emotion this morning. You need to just check how close are you to Christ. Is Christ truly is alive in your life? And it will be manifested in our church, in our community, and the preaching of the gospel, the being testimony, the witnesses we're going to see further on will be automatic. If we have this first one, it will be automatic. May God bless you.